said it before, for me and for many of us in North America, our eyes have been focused on the Stanley Cup. But let's be perfectly honest, billions and billions and billions of eyes are on South Africa as the biggest sporting event in the world. Every 4 years it takes place, and it is the World Cup, and it starts tomorrow. And, of course, our World Cup coverage here on the Fan 960 brought to you by TELUS. Start the match whenever you want. Watch the 2010 FIFA World Cup in HD and on your own schedule with TELUS Video on demand. To help us, to be our guide, to show us the way when it comes to the World Cup, we turn to Soccer Steve, a regular contributor to Mike Richards' morning show. He's going to join us in the afternoons a couple times every week. You can catch him at soccersteve.com. Very pleased to have him join us this afternoon. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, mate. I've got to tell you, I've been waiting 4 years like those billions of people that you've just alluded to worldwide, but it couldn't come quick enough, but it's coming tomorrow. Absolutely, absolutely pumped beyond belief.
It really is, in many ways, a religion for some people, and I also approach it like a religion. You may not be a soccer fan or a football fan every day, and maybe you don't go to church every Sunday, but there is Christmas and Easter, and there is the World Cup, and it has my attention, and surely to God it's got your attention. So let's do this. You give me your storylines. What are the major Soccer Steve storylines going into this World Cup?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's got to be a World Cup where everybody's looking for the underdog or the dark horse to win this big puppy, yeah? But I've got to tell you the truth. Looking at the groups, the way FIFA had them all come down very nicely drawn together, you've got really eight pretty even groups apart from the one. I'm calling it the group of death, and that's where Germany sits, along with Ghana, Australia, and Serbia. But looking to what Pelé said with Brazil, I got to say, Brazil's coming in very, very quiet. No big headlines, no real emergencies in the homeland. Everything's very, very quiet. When Brazil come to the tournament on a quiet phase, everybody else better look out because they mean business. Second favorite, definitely got to be Spain. But as you know, Spain don't always pull it off in the big tournaments. Maybe Euro 2008 champions. But when it comes to World Cup, they kind of choke like a good nation, England. So looking at what you would say, the big teams running and the dark horses, really not too much until we get out of the group phase. I think that's where we see a lot of big teams taking out big teams. And looking for England, you got to say Brazil is going to be an obstacle. But I think this one's got to be emerging because we've had so many injuries that it's really kind of taken away from the World Cup. But let's hope that the teams pull it off and really supply what is actually the biggest tournament on the planet. And let's hope that the entertainment's great worldwide, and exactly the same here in Canada.
Let's talk about the injuries. One notable one, obviously, for England is Rio Ferdinand. But as you say, it's not just one country. There's a number of countries with some pretty big players out right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as we've got closer and closer to the tournament, we've seen these friendly international games, which I'm not really against. But I think maybe 2 weeks before the big tournament, you want to stop playing. I think you need your guys going. You need to hit the ground running. And playing these non-entity games to lose the likes of Didier Drogba, your Rio Ferdinands, etc., etc., I think it's a bit of a waste. I think really the games should have been stopped 2 weeks ago. And looking at the international coaches, I think they probably agree the same thing right now, especially with Didier Drogba. That injury, really got to tell you, could take the Ivory Coast out of the World Cup. Up until that stage, they were neck and neck with Portugal. They just made Portugal's life a heck of a lot easier.
Are we convinced Drogba won't play? Because there has been, you know, some speculation that, you know, there's some, I don't know, some haze around the injury. I mean, is it for sure that he's not playing?
Well, the surgery was successful. We know that much. But looking onto the athleticism of the game and looking at the way that Drogba plays for Chelsea in England, obviously a big power forward if we're looking in the world of hockey. He's a power forward. He busts through everybody, got a lethal shot, great with the head. Very, very tenacious, difficult to work with, but that's all coming from that athleticized play that he brings. I think when he's full ball running, that elbow injury may well slow the guy down, and if he's not ready, I think they put the guy on who's fit. The point being, if he's fit to play, he will be there. But I got a feeling if you see Drogba, maybe by the third group game, if they're in dire straits, they'll bring him back. If they bring him back earlier, it has shades of Wayne Rooney for Manchester United. Big injury, comes back too early, and then again is out of the game the very next game. So I think if they risk him, they risk him, and they get further, but I think it's too early to say whether he'll start. My thought is third game in the group stage would be the right time, if at all.
Soccer Steve from SoccerSteve.com, our guest here on the Fan 960, Fan960.com. We're setting up the 2010 FIFA World Cup in South Africa. It starts tomorrow. The next time we visit, we'll be in the matches and we'll be talking about the drama that's unfolded there. This gives me a chance, though, to pick your brain on a few things heading in. One, what do you make, or how much should the casual observer make about the discrepancy over the Adidas ball?
You know, that's really coming under fire from a lot of the national teams. A lot of guys are saying, just like in 2006, it's a repeat performance with Adidas and their ball. I don't know why they have so many problems, but we got a repeat performance. When it's a free kick situation or a corner situation or a long pass diagonally across the field, the ball is moving in the air very, very much to the left or to the right. So it's a dimension that they've got to get used to. It's fair for every team. They've both got to play with the same ball. But the big teams amongst the World Cup are not looking at this ball kindly at all. Keepers especially, look for free kicks because this thing moves in the air. I've actually trialed a ball. It does move. But at the end of the day, I think the teams needed about 3 or 4 months good hard practice with this ball to really understand where it's going as for the flight of the ball.
What about South Africa, the country? What about the facilities? I mean, we're playing, I'm assuming, very close to sea level in most cases. What about the environmental conditions for this tournament?
Great question. You got to think, most people think in Africa it's going to be really hot and it's going to favor the African teams. Couldn't be more wrong with that assumption. This time of year, it's cold season in Africa. They all know about it. If you're looking for guys that this weather will favor, look to the Europeans. I don't see any problems with European countries. It may be somewhat on the cooler side for South American countries. And if you're looking at the African countries themselves, they're used to the homeland. Will it do the African teams any favors? I don't think it does. I think it helps the Europeans more so than anybody. But at the end of the day, I'm looking for South America to possibly be the big teams to move into the final stages.
One of the lessons I learned coming out of Vancouver was the groundwork that was laid by a lot of the successful athletes and successful teams, that they knew how to get from point A to point B and all the interruptions and mitigating all of that and just concentrating on the sport. What about South Africa in terms of facilities and traffic and all those things? Can a team, country be able to kind of do their own thing and be out of the spotlight so they can concentrate only on the football?
Absolutely. It's down to the coaching and the coaching staff's discretion. If they want closed doors all around their hotel or their training facilities, they can get it. What I would say, though, is expect those training facilities especially to have open days so that local fans, not just the fans of that nation, but local fans to the arena, to the training facility, can get inside and actually see some of these superstars. Not all the training facilities will be open all the time, but look for open days. As for the standard of facilities, you've got to say top draw facilities. They have not forgotten about anything. And to give you a clue on one of the hotels with one of the teams, they're going in there. Everybody's got a beautiful five-star hotel, amongst other things, swimming pools, saunas, weight rooms, nutritional programs to go through each single day. And also, to take away from the stress of being a pro footballer at the World Cup, they've even got a games room.
We're in conversation with Soccer Steve. SoccerSteve.com is the website. He's our guide for the World Cup. He's going to join us a couple of times every week, and we will, as kicks off tomorrow, we'll start getting into the games. One of the storylines, and I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, but please do. I was reading it on your site. And there's been a lot made about the potential for match fixing at this event. What is the casual observer, what do we need to know? How concerned are we about the possibility of gambling and the fix being in?
Okay, starting from the match fixing angle, this has been going on for years at many, many world soccer tournaments, but not just within soccer. Match fixing goes on all the time. The point of the matter is they will try to tap up, and tap up is the phrase. They'll try to tap up one of the lesser teams. They are not successful at tapping up teams like Brazil, France, Italy, Germany, because that's just not going to happen. Where this really breaks down is the latter phases of a group stage, when, say, one of the minnow teams will not qualify. And also, you have to say at the same time that for many years, players at the World Cup did not know what they would receive financially, if at all. Trinidad and Tobago from 2006 are still yet to be paid for their participation. I'm talking the players.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes down to the match fixers, everybody should realize that, yes, they will be at the World Cup. They are always at the World Cup, and they are looking for the lesser teams to try and manipulate. They are successful with some people in some cases, but FIFA I think FIFA is the ones that are really guilty by doing nothing at all about this situation. There's a great book on the market by Declan Hill,
yep.
and it's called The Fix. I really endorse that book. If anybody wants to know a little more about match fixing, that book tells you everything in hardcore details. And obviously, at SoccerSteve.com right now, there is part two of the match fixing editorial that I've got up there for everybody to take a good old read at.
So is FIFA again standing by doing nothing, or have they taken any steps to try and curb it in South Africa?
Well, when we look on the basic, what we teach our kids wrong from right, well, FIFA seems to have a problem with the actual definitive wrong or right. They seem to like to stay in the background, have less fuss about any speculation or any wrongdoing within a game. And I'm not saying that Thierry Henry was accused of match-fixing back in the day of qualification, but had fair play been a ruling, the Republic of Ireland would have been at this World Cup instead of France.
Good point. Let's finish this conversation off, and many to come here in the next month, with a couple of the games that are coming up in the first couple of days. I got to ask you about the host country. They take on Mexico. A lot of pressure when you're putting on an event like this. What do we expect from the South Africans?
Well, you know, South Africa had a horrendous form patch coming into this, but recently they've had two wins back-to-back. The latest one was a 1-0 victory over Denmark, and that can't be ignored. That's a very, very good result for them. But looking at their group, they're in pretty deep. Yes, they have the home fans. Yes, they're going to be giving it everything they've got. But when you look at the likes of France, Uruguay, and Mexico, you got to imagine that the only place they should finish is dead last.
Saturday, the Media Bowl, you could call it, the world's largest sports media in the United States against the world's largest football media in England, England-USA, a matchup that's got a lot of pre-tournament publicity. How do you look at that one?
I look at that one and I say that England needs to be very, very respectful and aware of the USA. USA has a great program, not just only in the national forum, but also with the MLS, Major League Soccer. For years I've been saying Major League Soccer has bred that international team for the USA, and that when you look at MLS, it may not be everybody's taste, and it might not be the speed that we're looking for like in the Euro Leagues or South America. But when you look at international soccer, it's a parrot fashion style of play. They've bred their own national team very successfully. I think England need to take it easy, need to be very respectful, and not press the game, move into the game very cautiously. You could say that England has a lot of strength and a lot of talent, but that talent's really got to come together to take out the US. Last time around, England beat the US 2-1, but it wasn't the most convincing game, and of late, England have not been the most convincing team. So I look at the USA to possibly be a team that could probably take them or at least force them to really make England work for that result.
A ton of people listening right now are filling out the World Cup pools. Fast forward to Sunday, July 11th. Who are you penciling in your winner's bracket?
Well, I'd love to see Fabio Capello's dream come true, and that would be England taking on Italia. Obviously, Italy, big respect to the reigning champions. Will they keep it? That's a dream final. What I have a hunch of is one of three teams making that final itself. It's either Brazil. There's a real chance with a dark horse run of a team that we know all about, Holland. But the one team that's really interesting me from the other side of the pool is Argentina. If Diego Maradona can get it together with the likes of Lionel Messi, which everybody says there's going to be a headache or an argument every 5 minutes, I don't agree with that. I think that South American passion could be enough to get Argentina on the right track. And let's face it, when they were going through qualifying, everybody was saying Argentina will not be going. The one thing I said for the last 2 years was that Argentina would make the finals, but they'd wake up when they get there.
What will we find at SoccerSteve.com?
You'll find editorials throughout the World Cup. You're going to find some funny pics as well as we go through the tournament. I like a little sarcasm in the picture. A picture paints 1,000, or in my case, 1 trillion words. I like a lot of sarcasm in the pictures. I like fast-time editorials on the World Cup and what's going on at the World Cup, and also links to the Fan 960 every day of the week.
Steve, good to talk to you, my friend. We'll do it again next Tuesday. Enjoy this first weekend.
Absolutely, and I tell you what, everybody should be glued to their screens. One quick question. Where's the hottest pub in Calgary to watch the games?
I would say Shanks. I'd be going to Shanks North or Shanks South.
Well, I'll have to be making a visit up to Shanks.
There you go. Thanks, Stevie.
Yeah, you're very welcome.